Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship, whether you're here in person or watching online. We're so glad that you've joined us today on the first Sunday of Advent. For those of you who are here in person, there are books that you can take home, one per family, that are daily devotional guides to take you through this season. It'll coincide with the messages that I'm preaching on Sunday and give you a daily way to prepare for Christmas as we move through this important season we call Advent. It's a season when we look ahead. As we're about to remember when Jesus came the first time, we're first reminding ourselves that he's coming again. Amen? And we want to prepare our lives, not get too cozy, although in 2020, I don't think anyone's too cozy down here. But we know that the Lord is coming to make things better. So we begin this season looking forward and trusting in him. So whatever kind of week you have had, I hope it was a good time of gathering with some, or at least Zoom calling, or connecting in some way with people you love and giving thanks. And we're glad you're here to worship. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you see, we have our beautiful Advent wreath, as we always do. The first candle is lit, and we'll have special readings each Sunday. Connie DePauli is going to do a responsive reading with us today, so follow along on the slides. You have the part that echoes after her, okay? So let's say these together.
You remember how to do responsive readings. It's been a long time. This first week of Advent is a celebration of hope. God's people are neither optimistic nor pessimistic about the future.
We are prisoners of hope.
God's people don't put their hope in possessions, in rulers, or in systems and structures.
Our hope is in the Lord.
God's people learn to be patient in suffering because they know that suffering produces endurance, and that endurance produces character.
And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us.
Give thanks to God always because of the grace that has been given to us in Jesus Christ.
Through him we have become rich in hope.
We aren't missing any spiritual gift while we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed.
Our hope is in the Lord. Let earth receive her King. Amen. Well, that is our theme for the Advent season, Let Earth Receive Her King, and that's the title of the book that you can grab before you go. Thank you so much, Connie, for helping us start the season off right. Well, at this time, we're going to sing, and so Ellen's going to come join me.
Thank you.
Amen. I can't wait for that day when we see Jesus coming again, and I hope that we will live in that way, everything that we are for his kingdom's cause. Well, as we go to prayer this morning, we want to pray for our nation and our world, still struggling against this virus, but still confident and believing that resolutions and help are on the way, with new medicines to help with treatment and with vaccines that can hopefully prevent the virus and help us to slow down its progress. We still need to be careful, still need to have our masks and be wise about going out. Cases are still pretty high in our area, so it's still a season to be very careful. New limits and restrictions for Lake County go into effect tomorrow. So restaurants won't have as much capacity. And it's just a good idea to try to limit going out to the things that you must do. But through it all, we know that God is with us, and we're grateful for that, for his comforting presence. But we want to pray for our hospital workers in a special way. Hospitals are absolutely filling up around us. Nurses and doctors are working double shifts. It's just a grueling time. Our own George and Linda are part of that as healthcare workers, so we want to be praying for them today. We also just want to pray for those who need the Lord's touch in our midst, who are struggling or sick, have job concerns, financial concerns, relationship and family issues, and even unspoken needs that are an issue in our lives that we need to bring before the Lord. Then, of course, we want to pray for our church, to continue to shine the light of Jesus, to live faithful lives in difficult times. So, with all this in mind, let's come before the throne of grace. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll pray for Arlene. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your glorious throne this morning, we are grateful for the grace and the mercy that you always show us. In Jesus, you showed us just how incredible your love is for us. Through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, you've made yourself known to us and made us alive in Christ. And we can live in the energy and strength that you give. As we come before you, Lord, we know that it's only because of Jesus that we, your fallen creatures, can come before you. But, Lord, we are leaning on him and his work. We are coming in his name as we come before you this morning in reverence and in awe. We do acknowledge, Lord, that this is your world, this is your universe, that you have made us, and we have to answer to you with our lives. And so we are here this morning to glorify you, to honor you, and to give thanks for all that you do for us. But may there be a soberness in our spirit during this season, Lord. Although the world has already rushed ahead and we've got the Christmas music and so many other things around us, let us continue to still our hearts and minds, to meditate on you and your love and the sacrifices that you made for us. And in this season, form us into the holy people that you have in mind for us to be, and the good people that you have in mind for us to be, changed and transformed by love, being formed into the image of Christ, that as we live our lives, we bring hope to those we come in contact with. And Lord, we use our gifts, we use our energy, we use our resources to help the kingdom's cause so that others can know the truth, others can be ministered to and have their needs met. And so, Lord, with that in mind, we pray for those who are struggling against this virus around the world. Many friends of mine now have contracted the virus and are fighting it, and I ask that you give strength and comfort to them right now. Whether the symptoms are mild or serious, there's always concern as they move through that encounter. We pray that you'll move close to those right now who need you the most. And we pray for the frontline workers, whether it's George and Linda or other people we know locally here who who are sacrificing to serve and care for those who are suffering. Or, Lord, wherever they are around the world, and those who are trying to strategically counter this virus with medicines and research and new forms of care. Father, just bless and guide and empower them that we may win this fight in a timely way. We're grateful that we hear good news about treatments that are coming and vaccines that are coming. Help us to hold on and be careful for just a little while longer, and we believe that your hope and your joy comes in the morning. And Father, just minister all comfort to your people, those who are sick in our congregation or who have procedures coming up. Chester has a couple of procedures coming up. We ask you to watch over him during that time. Others, Lord, just continue to need your touch and healing. We pray this morning for Arlene's family and the loss of her sister. We pray also for Martha Truman and the passing of her brother-in-law. Just minister to the family. And during these times of loss and empty space in our lives, may we learn to lean on you more and find you to be the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials, that we may comfort others with the comfort we have received ourselves. And Father, we pray for our church family, that you will help us to continue to press in to know you more, that we'll find ways to reach out in love and bring comfort to others. We thank you for the bond of love that we share, and that we will continue to know and love and bless one another even in these unusual times. Fill each life with your presence, Lord, today, and help us as we continue in worship to bring you glory and honor and praise. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This time, let's turn our attention to God's word. And so we'll be in Isaiah chapter 64 and looking at verses 1 through 9. And so let's stand in honor of God's word today. You can follow along where you are at home as well. Isaiah chapter 64, beginning at verse 1. Open your heart, for this is the word of the Lord. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down and make your name known to your enemies, and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, when everything is lost, or at least when it seems that way, when homes and lives are destroyed by war or natural disaster, when there's seemingly no way out, we tend to call it a hopeless situation. At least that's a phrase that we will throw out there. And that's kind of the season of life for the people of God where this text lands today. Right in the middle of a hopeless time, after decades of exile in Babylon, the Judeans are now free to return to their homeland, only to find it destroyed and barren. What they thought would be a joyous homecoming has ended in feelings of despair. And they told the stories of this place to their children and their grandchildren, only to return to a place that was unrecognizable. Have you ever gone back to where you grew up and everything's changed and you don't know your way around after all? Well, this was that, only worse, because so many things were gone or lay in ruins. And in their despair, they feel this incredible distance from God. They question whether God is working on their behalf, whether God is in fact listening at all. In the midst of this great sorrow, in the midst of this despair, they raise up a great lament to God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. The imagery here gives a great sense of longing for God to be revealed, to intervene, to show up, to interject some light into the midst of darkness, and to bring some hope into a seemingly hopeless situation. So, because of their hopeless situation, the Judeans cry out and lament to God. And I think that's something powerful to notice here. In their season of despair, they didn't just forget God or turn away from God. They didn't just hit the panic button, but instead they went to God directly. Now, they are wondering where God is or where God is active in their midst. And they think, they're wondering, have they been abandoned by God? They want to know why God is allowing these things to happen, why they are where they are. And they ask God to draw near. So they use this language, come down and make known. And these are pointing to the reality that so often in life we cannot see exactly what God is up to, and at times we really long to know. Well, so in the midst of crying out in this way, they do recall the ways that God has shown himself in the past. And I think that's an important skill for all of us to remember. Whether it's through keeping a journal where you note down the answers to prayer, where God has worked in your life in a meaningful way, whether you just gather with friends and loved ones to share those praises and then file them away in your mind and heart, kind of like Mary filed things away that she was experiencing with Jesus. However they had preserved those things, they are able to recall them. And they remember that God has interceded in the past. These people have heard their entire lives about the miraculous stories about Abraham and Moses, how God established their nation, how God freed the people from slavery, how he led them through the Red Sea, how he took them through difficult times, even when leaders failed. And so they recall these things, and they ask God, how come it's not exactly like that right now, at least in a way that we can see? But in the midst of all of that, it sort of comes to their mind while they're listing off all the things God used to do. Maybe their conscience is awakened in this process because they also remember that they used to live their lives differently before. And their time of lament leads them into a time of confession. So as they're petitioning God to draw close, they realize that they have continued to sin. They even go so far as to say, no one calls on the name of the Lord anymore. Now that might not mean that no one ever prays about anything, but calling on the way of the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, that's a phrase in the Old Testament to refer to a lifestyle of leaning on God and trusting in God every day. And people just aren't living that way. during this time. So as they begin to get honest before God, their lament, naming the things they're upset about, naming the things they want God to do, they realize within their own hearts what is lacking. And they realize that even the good things that they do are like filthy rags in light of all the sin in their lives. They are unclean. They have forsaken God. And that probably has something to do with their ability to perceive how God is at work. Amen? Because when our lives turn away from the things of God, it's like turning down the volume on the work of God in our lives. Another thing to note here is that it's not just about individual sins, because what was happening to them was happening to the whole nation. And that's kind of like what we're going through right now. What's happening to us, the things that are putting the most stress on us, it's happening to all of us at the same time, amen? And it's happening to people around the world. There are hardly any human beings who are not bearing this burden right now. So it's a time to remember that we don't just stand before God alone. And their confession is a communal confession. Some of the individuals that are part of this weren't even born when they went into exile. It's not their fault that things fell apart. And so their confession, though, is owning all of it, owning how they as a people turned away and are now lost in suffering. And so it's important to remember that. We sin individually, but sometimes we sin as a group because of what we let go on. Because of how we just, instead of stirring one another on toward love and good deeds, we just say, yeah, whatever. We let it go. We don't get in touch with one another. We don't love each other. We don't seek out ways to pray and to serve. And so we just sort of take on a collective malaise, a collective apathy that says, well, if they don't care, I guess I don't care either. And that's something that will slice through the heart of God's people. It'll do damage. It'll make us less able to see and hear from God. So who has God called them to be? He's called them to be a hospitable people who love God and love their neighbors. And they have repeatedly lived in opposition to the people they were called to be. All throughout the Old Testament, we see them running out the prophets who were there to give them the direct message from God, mocking the people who obey God and put God first in all things. Because once you're headed downhill, it's no fun to have other people around reminding you of that, right? So, hey, we want to take them down with us. It's not a proud moment when we find ourselves there. And so they say, we continued to sin. All of us, they say in verse 6. No one calls on God anymore in verse 7. So this act of confession means that they have done a shift. They've done a pivot. And now they can begin to see things a little more clearly. And so as they continue on, clearly they trust that God is at work and God is listening to this prayer. And they realize that confession and lament belong together. So here's a tool for your toolbox as we are living this journey together. And that is lament, crying out to God. Naming the things that you are frustrated and broken about. Saying, Lord, why is this happening? It's a million times better to cry out to God or to complain to God, so to speak, than to say nothing and let your heart grow cold. Amen? It's a long time practice of God's people. But just as you're doing it, just be aware in the back of your mind that God is faithful. Be aware in the back of your mind that you have a role in this relationship. Keep the respect as you are crying out to God. Remember the things that God has done for you and be leaning toward faith, even when you're going through a time that's breaking your heart, even when you're going through a season that you cannot make sense of. As you cry out to God, lean into it and be willing to confess your part in it. Well, some people say that there's a gap in the text between verses 7 and 8. They've sort of expressed everything that they have to say, and all that's left is almost complete and utter hopelessness. But after the gap, there's a change in tone. It's like a switch gets flipped between verse 7 and 8. God is now Father. Somebody else picked up on that, right? Jesus. And God is a potter who is molding us and shaping us. The people are now the clay, and they're referring to themselves as the work of your hand. And that's the place where we can begin to see how God works all things together for good for those who love him and live according to his purpose. The circumstances haven't changed from verse 7 to 8. It's not like all of a sudden we wake up and, oh, hey, the virus was terrible yesterday and now it's all over. No, it's even here, it's not going to be like that. But the way we process it can change. When we get things off our chest and clear things between us and God, we can begin to see it differently. Because what shifts is how we view our relationship with God in the midst of trial. And there is hope. And our hope is not just based on science, because sometimes the science is wrong. There is hope, not because we will figure out what to do, because plenty of times we have no idea what to do. Our confession to God reveals that we miss it so often. But there is hope, again, not because of circumstances, but there is hope because of the existence of another being. Though our homeland would lay in ruin like it did for Israel, though there be no triumphal homecoming, though still we may not feel at home where we are, yet there is hope, and there is hope because of who God is. Amen? Let's say that together. Yet there is hope because of who God is. Doesn't matter the circumstances, because of the kind of God we know and serve. And God is their Father. So it's about a relationship, the calling on the name of the Lord as a way of life. And we express our confidence in a God who loves us despite our failings. And God is the potter. God was at work molding them, and God is at work now molding us if we will let him. He will take these circumstances. I don't believe he's the author of these circumstances. This fallen, broken world and the sin that's been unleashed has all affected the natural order, and just things that happen in the natural order have brought these things about. But God does not miss a moment to go to work, teaching us and shaping us, forming us and helping us to respond and grow even through seasons of trial. They also declare this thing at the end, for we are all your people. Now, I think that's a clue to us in our season. We need to see and understand that God loves everyone. To see and understand that our personal trial is laid alongside all of the trials that everyone is going through. And we all need the mercy of God. So let's drop our pride before our fellow man. Let's be humble and realize we're standing in need of prayer. Amen. After the lament and the confession, the people remember who they are too. There's hope because of who God is. And that reminds us who we are, his fallen but redeemed people, his loved people. So whether everything's going right in life right now or not, we are still the people of God. So there is hope for us too today, even in the midst of our seemingly hopeless situations. On this first Sunday of Advent, we're still walking through a surreal time with so much that's so big we can't quite wrap our heads around it. And I don't know what hope looks like in your mind's eye or in your heart. But even through brokenness, I hope you will let the Lord give you eyes to see the kind of hope that he brings. The reading this morning said that God's people are neither optimistic nor pessimistic. And I had a friend question, what does that mean? Why is that in the reading this week? Well, because when we're just optimistic, that's like we're saying, oh, you know, the whole world's on fire around us, but everything's fine. We're okay. That's like those false prophets of old who said, hey, no big deal. Don't worry about it. The buddy Jesus, right, giving you the thumbs up no matter what. That's not real. And we're not pessimistic. We're like, oh, it's all going to be terrible. It's going to just get worse. Everything's bad. It's hopeless. Oh, no, right? This is not a horror movie heading toward hopeless circumstances. No, we know that life involves suffering. We know that trials will indeed come. They came for Jesus. They're going to come for us too. But this morning, we know that God is with us. We know that God's grace is sufficient for us. We know we have a love and a resource that we can't get anywhere else but from God. And so even through broken families, have you got some brokenness in your family? Is someone not coping well with loss? Is someone dealing with addiction? Has someone lost a job and they're struggling to have a sense of who they are? Someone struggling with mental illness and it's so hard to talk about and deal with? Are there just relationships that have turned sour and you just don't quite know how to put them back together? Well, this morning, don't let hopelessness take over the way you look at the brokenness in your family. This morning, instead, understand that God is here and God is working and God can move in any circumstance to bring good things to pass. And God is very able to take good care of you and even of those that you're somewhat estranged from right now. God can continue to take good care of them if you entrust them into his care. Now, some of us have lost loved ones this year. Some of us are concerned that we might. Some of us are dealing with uncertainty as the year draws to a close. But in the midst of that, don't slip into despair. In your grief, lean into hope. Because yes, death is real. Yes, the loss leaves an empty space, whether it's a dear friend, a parent, a brother or sister, or even a family pet, as we learned this month. It's so hard to let go, and we feel that empty space that's there. But this morning, God has worked in your life in the past. Amen? You have seen God bring you through just by being here this morning. You're a testimony to what God can do. So understand that he's here now. Be willing to confess. This Advent season's a good time to look inward and clean house. Take stock. How are things between you and God? How are things between you and how you deal with all the stuff in your life? Are healthy patterns emerging by loving God and loving others, being in the Word and prayer? Or have you started to kind of just do stuff? Have you started to just, in your own strength and wisdom, try to survive and club your way through the difficult times? Then take a step back. Confess that you haven't leaned into your relationship with God and make a clean start. Advent needs to be a season where we are willing to confess, where we do cry out for God, but like those who wrote this passage we read together today, are looking up, looking to God, waiting for God to act, waiting for God to move. So this morning, if you need to lament, do it. You'll find some tools for that in the book that we have. If you need to confess to God, do it. Make a clean break. Make things right with God. Have some conversations if you need to. But as you lament and confess, come to a place of looking at things head on for what they are, but looking at life right now as a prisoner of hope, understanding that you are held by the love and grace of God. Understand that God is working out his good purpose in history, and he is working out his purpose for us through this time. We didn't ask to live in this moment, and God knows it. And so he is leading us through it. Amen? But let us walk in his ways. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. And this morning, let's be people of hope. Amen? So as you take stock of your own heart this morning, how's your hope? Where is your trust? Are you leaving it with God? And maybe this morning you say, yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. But I'm concerned about someone in my family. I'm not sure they're coping well. Well, then lift them up to God and cry out for God to work in their life. But also trust them into God's care. Don't carry that burden too much. But as you're intended to, give it to God. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in this moment, we are very aware that we need you. The things we're up against, Lord, we know they're real, they're potentially dangerous, and how other people respond affects us too. And so as we come before you, Lord, we are crying out. We're asking, Lord, for you to help us to see where you're at, to see what you're doing in our midst. We ask you to move and to act in powerful ways during this time. And please show yourself strong and able as you work in our lives together as well. Thank you for preserving our congregation during this time. Thank you for the relationships that we hold dear. And Father, as we think about our own, as we think about our loved ones and the burdens they're carrying, Lord, I pray this morning that sense of hopelessness or fear or dread would just be vanquished this morning, Lord, by your holy and loving presence. May we know that we can indeed, as you have led your people through plagues and wars and persecutions and losses in every season, that you are here now, as across the ages, leading us through. Renew our faith and reassure us of that this morning. But Father, help us to be people who call on you, who remember you and don't forget. And Lord, would you reach out to our loved ones, the ones we're concerned about this morning, and would you comfort them as only you can? Would you renew them as well? Would you just take them up in your arms, Lord, and carry them through? And help us even now to transfer our trust to you, that we would not carry it as worry or burden this morning. Lord, may your hope just capture our hearts and carry us through. We are grateful for your faithfulness, and we pray this in Jesus' very powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We didn't pass the offering plate today, but before you go, you can place your gift in the plate at the back. If you're online watching, you can give there through a link that's provided, or you can go to our website, fairmeadowchurch.org, and click the Give Today button. Just remember to find a way to be faithful in your giving during this time. We appreciate it. But before we go, I just want you to stand together, and let's confess a good thing here. let us confess our faith in God, and let's declare the Apostles' Creed together before we go today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the grace and love of God. Live as people of hope. Lament, confess if you need to, but find your way on a journey of hope as you begin this season. God bless you. And as you go, be sure to grab one of the books on the table and have a great week.